Welcome everybody to the Pigskin Preview NFL Week 2. I am Dino the Pig. I am joined by the Burn Dog and Jared the Farmer yet again. Boys, huge week one. You ready for another week of NFL football?
Duh. Kicking the bookies' ass, what's new? And normally week one's the tough one, but week two through four, you better watch out. It's kind of my bread and butter.
Not here.
What?
Yeah, what?
I said week one's usually a tough one, not here.
Yeah, so
we're waiting on Mr. Mr. Record Keeper over here.
So someone's over here breaking the bookies back. Well, as usual, everybody, we are sponsored by Tanks Solar Solutions, LLC. Help the earth, help your wallet, tail the farmer, GLTA. What a beautiful week one it was. I mean, it starts beautifully with a Dolphins victory and a decisive victory. So always, you know, claps all around to the Dolphins getting a nice early W. Excited for week two. And guess what? The farmer and the pig will be in attendance in Baltimore to see the Dolphins start off an undefeated campaign of 2-0. So I'm excited about that. Also excited about a 19-9 week in week one on the first edition of the Pigskin Preview.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. I mean, 19-9.
19-9, and honestly, it was mainly because of me. I went 6-5. I basically split my spread, split my teasers, split everything, split my over unders, and then I hit the Chubb over 72.5, and that's what put me above the 500 mark. West 6-2, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I got screwed by that backdoor cover for the Browns on Carolina. I believe the farmer did as well. And then, of course, Seattle -6. I mean, can't handicap two goal line fumbles on the one. You know what I mean? It's just, if both of those score, it's a completely different ball game. But, you know, you take it where it comes. I will say that I couldn't believe that I got Jets and Seattle under 19.5 because –
Yeah, that was a crazy way to hit that because they scored 3 points, what, in the second half, right?
Yeah, right in the beginning of the second half, they scored a touchdown, I believe.
I think they scored 3 points in the second half, no?
They ended with 17, so yeah, two touchdowns. And then either way, I was very surprised to see on this week there are no more weak team total lines like that. Just a terrible team under 19.5. Everything has seemed to move under key numbers. And then, of course, what's going on here? The Burn Dog is the only one to hit a teaser this week?
No, I hit a teaser. I split my teasers. I went 1-1.
Yeah, that's what happens when you place two.
Well, that's what happens when you take the two away favorites in the same game.
Yep.
But
my strategy and point.
You live and learn. It's week one. It's always tough to handicap. And, you know, one thing to really make note of here is week two, don't buy into the week one overreaction. We talk about this every year on Bet the Farm. Do not buy into the overreaction. Jared, 7-2. Hell of a week.
Yeah, 13-6 if you followed me at @JaredP_, because look, we record our podcast on Wednesdays, jump on some early lines that I'm going to talk about in a little bit. But for the most part, a lot of the bets I put in are at the end of the week. Like I said on the pod last week, I'm going to wait. If the Chargers hit 3, if the Seahawks hit 7, those will be bets. They both, one hit 3, one hit 7. Those are both nice winners. Texans and Bears both +7, got some nice closing line value there. Well, I think at 7.5 regardless, doesn't matter. Giants +6, all those three went 2-0-1 just straight up, so not even a sweat when it comes to covering. We lost though. We started the year with a loser with the Rams Vikings teaser. Ravens Dolphins money line parlay, didn't even need the money line parlay, should have just taken them both laying the points because they both covered with ease. Chiefs Cardinals over 53.5. You'll be seeing me attacking the Cardinals defense early and often. Could be the worst defense in the NFL. That's not an overreaction to Pat Mahomes because I'll get into that maybe a little later in the show. But I believe that's it off the top of my head because they're scattered throughout all the other bets I had to finish the week. But yeah, 7-2 for week one for the Pigskin Preview. For picks on a Wednesday, I'll take it.
Absolutely. Love to see it. Overall, 19-9 week one on all the bets that we took. And those weren't just leans. Those were the ones that we made official bets. But it's time to move on to week two. As we like to do on the show, We are going to go game by game. Every single game, we will give you the spread, the total, money line, talk about whether we want to take them in a teaser, and really just go give you a full breakdown. So let's go and jump right into it. We start with a Thursday night football game, an AFC West showdown in Kansas City at Arrowhead for their home opener. They take on the Chargers. They are -4.5 favorites. Both teams coming off of wins. The over-under, 54. One of the highest over-unders you're ever going to find in NFL. Saw a stat today. Any games that are over-under 54 or above are 7-0 on the under in the history of the NFL. And the average margin of the under is 12.5 points.
I didn't hear if you said that, but you're referring to Thursday Night Football games is the stat you saw.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah, sorry. I didn't clarify that.
So short week, when totals are that high, they tend to go under.
Yeah, thank you. Trend you're giving. Thank you. So, hey, jump right into it. Kansas City -4.5. Over-under is 54.
Yeah, no surprise for me. I got a play here actually right out of the gates. And we're going first half under 27. Had nothing to do with that trend, but that trend just backs up what I like even more. Short week, no Keenan Allen. Chargers defense, probably top five in the league. Went healthy early in the season with Khalil Mack and Bosa. We'll see if they tend to break down later in the season like they do. But for now, they're looking great. I think Khalil Mack at 3 sacks looks like the Mack of old. And I just really love their defense in this matchup, especially to start off a game. The reason why, again, to remind everyone, I only like taking unders in the NFL for first halves, because I could easily see a Herbert, Mahomes, someone gets up 10 in the second half, and you just have a back-and-forth affair through the air. I don't think you're going to see that in the first half. I think you're going to see them try to establish the run, milk clock, keep the other quarterbacks off the field. 27 is way too high. I honestly locked it in now. This is normally something I'd wait for Thursday night, but I think this total is so high, I think you're going to see some sharps come in early tomorrow, Thursday morning, and really just take the air from the under out before even the public can get in there late to hit the over up a little higher. So if this somehow gets up to 27.5, I'll probably add another unit to it, to be honest. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, that Chargers defense is certainly special. Had 3 interceptions on Derek Carr. Half of his yardage came from Davante Adams. And now, granted, Davante Adams is amazing.
On 17 targets.
Which is insane. 10 catches, wild. But 140 yards. He had 290. But I think the thing that to mention here is still no J.C. Jackson for the Chargers. And he's not going to play this week. But when he does come back, and if that secondary can stay healthy, woof, it's going to be really interesting. They're going to be explosive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually have a play here involving that under. I'm going with the under tees up to 60.5.
Wow.
And I'm taking the Chargers to cross that magic number of 10 at +10.5. I think that this team looked great last week. I mean, it's a divisional game. There was issues on parts of their offense, certain areas of their defense. But overall, they played a really solid game. They lost Keenan Allen, but they still have a bunch of young weapons. They still have Austin Eckler. They still have Mike Williams and, you know, some of the young guys like Joshua Palmer. DeAndre Carter had a good game for them as well. And then you have Gerald Everett playing at tight end. So their offense is still there, and as long as Herbert is on the field, I think this is going to be a close game.
Fair enough. I mean, to hit that over, what, we're going to have a 35 to 38 type of game, really. Or I guess you could have it at 35-27-ish.
What people forget is when Herbert gets into those situations, I mean, it's going a little bit against my Chargers +10.5, but Herbert in the fourth quarter has a ridiculous amount of turnovers. I don't know the stat, but it seems like when he gets into tough situations, he makes really long drives and then turns the ball over.
Yeah, I leaned Chargers +4.5 here in a divisional matchup, but not a play here for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crossing that number of 10 on a teaser and just pumping up that under even more. I love it.
Just single game teasers are a little tricky, but fair enough. And I don't really believe in the whole teaser concept of an over under, but hey, it's going to take a lot to lose that, so I can respect it. We'll move to the Dolphins at Baltimore.
No, we got player props. Don't forget about that. Don't forget about them.
Well, spit your plays out. Let's go, baby.
Unlike you, I try to give the people what they want. Player props on Thursday night. You're like, oh, I don't want to force anything. Well, until the bookies pump up this number, we're going to be forcing this bet all season long. Travis Kelce, it was one of your plays last week. Travis Kelce, over 6.5 receptions at minus 140. I don't care. Eat the juice. He went 8 of 9 last week. He's going to get the most efficient targets on this team just because he has the most chemistry with Patrick Mahomes. I was talking to you earlier. I think that this is going to be the first time that this season that Patrick Mahomes gets a real pass rush in his face, and I think that's gonna end up with him giving more targets to his safety blanket rather than distributing the ball more evenly across the field as you saw in Arizona because he could stand back there all day. So lock it.
We move to Baltimore, where the Plotics will be on the road at Baltimore Dolphins, laying +3.5. The Ravens, -3.5. The over-under, 44.5. One of the lower totals of the week. I know the farmer certainly has a play anytime the Dolphins are on the board. We're going to have a play from the farmer, I assume.
Well, look, let's make one thing clear that you're just somehow alluding to, which is not true. I don't always bet the Dolphins. I actually like betting against the Dolphins a lot, too.
I just said if they're playing.
I got like a 75% win percentage on the Dolphins. I have a pretty good read on them as a team. But with that said, yeah, I'm taking the Dolphins +3 in the hook here. I just think these are two really evenly matched teams. Really, the big difference for me was shout-out former Dolphin Juwan James tore his Achilles, and he's been filling in for Staley, one of the best tackles in the league, who's not going to be playing. And on top of that, they lost their starting cornerback, whose name is I'm just blanking from right now. But he tore his ACL. He's out for the year.
Kyle Fuller.
Kyle Fuller, correct. So two big losses right there for Baltimore headed into this game. Dolphins last year completely had their number. I know it was on a Thursday Night Football short week at home in Miami, but the defense just completely locked down Lamar Jackson. I saw today he said he didn't know that we were going to play that much cover zero against him. Guess what? Same defensive scheme. Our defense is all over the place. In a matchup like this where I just think it's two really evenly matched teams, I'll gladly take if you're giving me the hook over the field goal.
Yeah, I'm on the Dolphins +3.5 here as well. Dolphins offense, you can say what you want about turnovers and whatnot, but number one in pass rate over expectation this past week. Tua is just doing his job. That's what he needs to do, and that's what we've talked about all offseason. He doesn't need to be Patrick Mahomes. He just needs to be Tua Tagovailoa. When you've got the weapons that he's got, you're going to give Tyreek Hill 11 targets a game, 12 targets a game, that's fine. But guess what? I'll talk about props maybe a little bit later, but definitely feeling Waddle only had five targets last week, turned that into a fucking boatload. But on top of that, what I love here, and I think that the biggest difference in this game and what the line isn't factoring in here, is we won convincingly without a run game. 2.4 yards per carry for the Dolphins last week. The Ravens got gashed by the fucking Jets. 4.9 yards per carry. Now, here's the other thing to factor in. On the other side of the ball, the running game, Lamar Jackson. I read, and I love the take by the person that said it, and I'm bringing it up for that person. I'm not going to give names, but Lamar Jackson has been less apt to run the ball over the last 2 years. Now, why would that be? First of all, obviously, he doesn't want to get hurt. Now, why wouldn't he want to get hurt? Because he wants to get paid. Still in a contract dispute. I can see him being a little bit selfish and not wanting to run the ball. So he doesn't want to get hurt. They're not going to run the ball as much. Their whole offense is predicated on their run game. If they're not going to run the ball as much, who are you going to throw the ball to? Devin DuVernay? I'm not worried about that whatsoever. Dolphins have one of the best secondaries in the NFL. Turnovers galore. I can see a lot more turnovers this week. We already saw it last year on Thursday Night Football. Dolphins +3.5. I think it's a great bet.
Yeah, one underrated portion of my handicap that I forgot to give is there's death, there's taxes, and then there's the Plotnik's going to a road Dolphin game and covering spreads, okay?
Facts.
All right? Every game is close and we're there. Honestly, if it's a blowout, it's only going to be a blowout for their away team.
There's been one blowout in our entire history. But it's
Thursday Night Football, it doesn't count. We went to watch the Dolphins at the Bengals and got demolished.
Oh, no, there was two then. Minnesota, we got our asses kicked.
Oh, well, that doesn't count. I mean, we had fucking Jay Cutler.
And you know what's crazy? The last away game I went to, which you didn't even go to the game because you weren't vaccinated, was at Vegas, and we still covered the spread there because we went to overtime with Jacoby Brissett. So your boy knows what he's doing when it comes to covering spreads on the road.
Well, you know what's going to help us cover the spread, boys? Baltimore under 24.5 team total here.
Wow, that's high.
That is so high.
Wait, the over-under, that doesn't even make like sense whatsoever. Like, it literally doesn't make sense.
I swear.
The over-under is 44.5.
That makes perfect sense.
We're
they're 3.5-point favorites, makes our team total like 20.5.
Our team total is 20.5.
Brandon, math's not your strong suit, so don't just...
Well, I mean, do the math. It's still...
That's 45. That's exactly what you just said. Exactly. 20.5 plus 24.5 is the total.
It still doesn't make sense if the Dolphins are going to cover.
Either way, cover up. That is exactly what I said. I saw 24.5, 24 with the hook, and I said, that is way too high. I'm going to be all over this team total under. Vegas is showing some signs of leaning that way, because when I go to look at the passing yard props... Both guys are barely over 200, and both guys aren't even favorites to throw 1.5 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson is actually an underdog to throw 1.5 touchdowns at plus 120. Two is a pick 'em even when I looked. So, I mean, all that does is that tells me that Vegas thinks there's going to be a lot of rushing. And what's rushing going to do? It's going to tick, 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 eat that clock. Even if the Dolphins don't cover, which I do strongly believe they're going to cover, I thought this was a safer play on this game. I mean, as a fan, I'm probably going to take the Dolphins anyway. It's not going to be a cash crop, but I just thought this was a really safe play. It's my favorite bet of the week. It's going to be a three-unit banger, and I'm going all in on this number. If you can get it with the hook, do not go 23.5. You want the hook, or you want 24 to push.
If we're going to tick, 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 then we're going to go rumbling, bumbling, stumbling to a player prop here. And we're going to take, and I don't know the exact number yet as it come out, but I'm taking it no matter what it is. It could be 1.5. And it might be a half, and I might take it. We're going to take Devin DuVernay under receptions, whatever it is. He ran only 18 routes in their game on offense against the Jets. And he caught 2 touchdowns. So what does that tell me? Vegas, and like, he was one of the top waiver wire players in season-long fantasy. People buying in on DuVernay. He had a big pop-off week. He barely played on offense. Those are the types of things you want to see. Look at the routes run. Look at the target share. Things you want to look at when you're looking at player props. The guy barely plays. He's literally probably a third or fourth option, but he happened to have just a pop-off game with a 60-yard touchdown. We're going to take the under of receptions on that one because he's not playing enough downs.
I'll bet you arm and leg that it's not a half.
No. I said even if it is a half, I would take the under. But all right, fair enough. Talked enough about that, but we were just talking about the New York Football Jets. And they are plus 6.5 going to the dog pound, Cleveland, minus 6.5. The lowest over-under of the week at 40 points. I want to take the under here, right? Like, it's like Vegas is like trying to spoon-feed you, like fucking baby, 40 points. But
that was a great analogy, dude.
Yeah, but
just spoon feed.
It reminds me of like Garber's, like. But yeah, I lean Jets here. I lean Jets here. I don't have a play.
Open up for some brisket favor, baby food. Here's your under.
Here comes the choo-choo train. Here comes the New York Jets train plus 6. No, I'm kidding. I don't really like the Jets here. But if I had a lean, it would be Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want anything to do with this game right now. The team totals are even gross in this game.
I love Elijah Mitchell this week. Keep an eye out for him. I think he's one Elijah of my... Mitchell,
you love the guy with the sprained MCL, huh? Yeah.
He should really take that...
Elijah Moore, excuse me. From?
Ole Miss.
Okay, thank you. It's the one I finally knew, so I had to say it. Jared, nothing on this game? Fat pass?
What are you assuming?
It was a question.
And that question is wrong. Stop assuming.
I'm going to make another assumption. He's taking the Jets plus 6.5.
And Brandon, another assumption is another wrong assumption. This kid knows nothing about me. All right, handicapping style. I lie. Who's a... Does Jared ever lay...
He's teasing Cleveland down to a money line pick.
Brandon, you're done with guesses, okay? So after last week, I laid 6.5 on the road with the Ravens against this Jets team. This Jets team... it's just awful, and I feel bad because their receiver core is really good. They have a good set of running backs, but ever since losing Becton and then they just lost Dwayne Brown, I have no faith in this their line of theirs. And it's Brown's defense looks really good. So yeah, I'm taking a teaser. I'm teasing the Browns It's not that, dude. You went 0-2. You don't know. You're not allowed any more guesses. You sure didn't even got a second.
I just said if you
down to a half, and I'll give you the other half of the leg when we get there. But I don't trust this Browns offense with Brissett to lay 6.5, anyways. But I do think they get the win here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little torn on this one. Like I said, I really like the under there. It's really ugly, but we'll keep moving here. We've got the Washington going Commandos versus the Detroit Lions. Somehow the Lions are -1.5 here, over under 48.5.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Throw me the ball, coach.
You're in.
Call my number.
I already see. He already can't help himself.
I had to pick up the mic for this one.
Just at least hold it there. Okay, you're good.
Right here. I'm going to ASMR the rest of my picks. No. Okay, anyway. So, I can feel it in my plums, Brandon. Mm. I can feel the under in my plums. I mean, not the...
Oh my God!
The over, I can feel the over.
You should have kept to the ASMR, bro.
Yeah, just keep whispering into the mic like this.
Okay, like the yin yang twins.
With the over of 48, I'm buying the hook here at 48. I mean, these teams put up a. I know we're not chasing last week's points, but I mean, this is such a similar game for both teams. Washington's playing a weak defense, and Detroit's playing an offense that has a lot of skill players and weapons in good areas. I mean, Detroit's offensive skill positions looked fantastic last week. So did Washington's. I mean, Wentz, I don't know where that came from, but Detroit's defense is just as bad as Jacksonville's.
What do you mean, where did that come from? I don't know where this whole slander of Wentz came from. The guy was an MVP candidate, like his second year in the league on Philadelphia.
4 years ago.
Okay, I don't care. It's not like he's been like a horrible quarterback. Everyone treats him as if he's Mitchell Trubisky. The guy's a competent quarterback.
I mean, he Mitchell Trubisky'd a game against the fucking Jaguars at home.
What do you mean? He threw for 365 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's what Mitchell Trubisky does? Because that would involve five fumbles.
Yeah, exactly. Fumbles.
Well, he didn't do that.
Three fucking fumbles.
No, he had 3 interceptions, though.
Three interceptions. Oh, my God. He Mitchell Trubisky'd the game away. Brandon, this is my handicap, and I need you to stay out of it for a second, all right?
Well, if you move the mic a little further away from your face, I'll be happier. All
right. I didn't have anything left to say.
All right, so you like the over.
I just wanted that...
I know you did. Well, I do.
Where do I feel it, Brandon?
In your fucking stupid, ugly plums. All right.
Fucking plums.
I have a teaser leg here. I'm going to take the Commanders as +1.5 dogs up to 7.5. Get through the key numbers of 3, 6, and 7. I think that I don't even know why Detroit's favored here. Their defense is fucking atrocious. They can't stop anybody. Their last 3 games in the NFL, they've given up 30 points or above in every single game. And that goes back into last year, obviously. But, I mean, okay, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm, like, stumped for words as to why they're a favorite here. The Commander, you know what? I'm done calling them the Commanders. They're either the football team or the Washington Commies. Bunch of fucking Commies. But we're going to take them up to 7.5. I think it's just a good teaser leg. Get through the key numbers. That's about all I got on the game. It's not much of a handicap. Jared is...
I think that's an excellent teaser, Brandon.
Yeah, up to 7.5. Why not? We will move on to...
Wow, I guess I'm not allowed to talk anymore because you just want to keep yapping. How about you have 5 minutes in the box over there, all right? They don't call me the fucking farmer for nothing. So, but yeah, I actually like the Lions here, but I'm not taking it. At 1.5, I think that some money may come in on Washington, and if it does and it gets down to a pick'em, then I'll be on the Lions. But I think that... I couldn't disagree with Brandon more. I think Carson Wentz is completely overrated. There's a reason no team wants him, and where he keeps bouncing around and has to take over the team with that had a retired quarterback and no one else. So, I think Wentz couldn't have had a better first game to look good against the Jags defense that, for some reason, is just foreverly dog shit. But other than that, I mean... Yeah, they're going against the Lions defense, not much better, agreed. But this Lions offense, I think, is easily in the top 15 in the league. I mean, their offensive line is stout. They have a Swift, and then they have, for short yardage, Jamal Williams. The receiving
top
12,
core. I would say.
DJ Chark is underrated. He just was hurt last year. The year before that was really good. He had a great week one. You have Hockenson. I mean, they just have weapons everywhere. It's just no one thinks golf's sexy.
Amon-Ra, Chark, Hockenson, Swift, and I mean, I'll throw Jamal Williams in there. I don't really like him.
I'm just saying, change of pace, goal line back, and then the one thing that is just really important to say is they have a top five O line. That's I'm a guy that I take trenches into account more than pretty much any handicapper out there. It works for me.
That big Oregon left tackle finally started to pay off for the
And they have Decker. They have a sick center. They have like three of their five O linemen are like top five of their position. So they're a really good O line. Goff is serviceable. The one thing I'm worried about and I want to wait for as well is that they're saying Swift is on the injury report now and with an ankle injury, and we all know how fragile he tends to be.
God,
so
don't fucking tell me that.
So yeah, that's one if I'm gonna have to wait closer till game time for.
Well, if Swift is out this week, I might as well just jump in a hole fantasy wise. But our host is back, and we're moving on to the.
I don't know. I had 5 minutes in the box. I don't know if it's 5 minutes, but I will continue on. And we've got – Jared already was alluding to some of these teams here. Games we just talked about. The Colts, -4. Carson Wentz at Jacksonville, +4, over under 45.5.
Yeah, you know, I'll keep going because you're still in the box, but you're allowed to say those kind of things. But you know,
Jared doesn't drink, and all he does is talk shit.
I talk shit. You say I talk shit when I do drink. You say I talk shit when I don't drink. How about I just talk shit? All right. And sometimes it's meant to be.
Do it.
Because look, everyone listens to the show because of me. And when Brandon's skipping me for games, I'm gonna talk shit. All right. All right. Glad that's said. Next thing I know,
that's a fucking yellow right there.
This is not the card with yellows. Yellow, and. Dude. Yeah, you know, the yellows are on the drinkers for not understanding sarcasm when they hear it. So, moving on. But to be real, the one thing I'm trying to do better this year is targeting. The one thing I do always take a lot of dogs, and it's for a specific reason, and it works out. One thing I want to change is taking a little bit more, laying a little bit more points when you should. And I haven't taken this yet. I'm going to wait. I'm really holding out for a 3.5. But I have a heavy lean to the Colts here on the road. I don't think the Jags have improved that much. And I think the Colts are a lot better than they showed against the Texans last week. They came out flat. I love Matt Ryan and that offense there. The one thing I'm going to really be looking for is I want Darius Leonard to be in. He missed last game. If he's in playing and this line somehow gets down to 3.5, I'll be on the Colts.
I mean, if he's playing last game, they might win that game. He's that big of a difference maker.
For sure. On that defense?
That is the quarterback of the defense.
Yep.
Frank Reich is undefeated in winning.
Undefeated
and losing. He's never won a week one since he's been the head coach of the Colts.
Yeah, well, the Colts are
undefeated and winning.
The Colts are 0-13 against the spread in their last 13 seasons. So
in week one.
In week one.
It's pretty wild.
That's why I
was totally leaning Colts -4. I think Jared's getting in my head here. You know what? I'm making an official play. I'm taking the Colts -4 here. So an official play. He just got in my head last week about taking road favorites, and I didn't do that well, but I did split my spreads. It was the teasers that kind of killed me. I got a little bit too heavy with the away spreads, but that was week one. We're not going to overreact. What did I say to open the pod? Do not week one overreact. We're not going to do that with the Colts, and now we get the Jags in a divisional matchup, and they're only getting four or laying 4 points. Yeah, I'm going to take that.
I just got to bring it up a third time because it's so fun since you were so good at teasers last weekend. Is that
last year?
Last weekend, yeah, exactly. Last year.
I mean, I went 1-1. It wasn't that bad.
No, he meant to say last year. Yeah, that's last the point. Year.
I know
exactly.
I was.
My point is, there was somebody that could have, you know, warned you about road teasers. He was on this podcast. I don't know what his name is, but I could have swore he had a whole segment about how he was going to avoid heavy road favorites. Two team teasers of heavy road favorites, but you know, sometimes people don't listen, Jared.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. That's how it works. You live and you learn.
Live and learn, and I will learn a lot from my brother, the farmer, when it comes to this pick right here, because we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that are currently -2.5 at the New Orleans Saints, +2.5. The over-under is 44. Just take it away. Audio issues here, but my brother was just saying.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, when the Saints go marching in, oh, when the Saints go marching into a home game, laying points.
You may have just blew out the listeners' eardrums, but for those at home anyways that listen to week one and are fired up because they went 19-9 with the team, they heard my week two preview play, bet beforehand, and that was +3 look-ahead game, Saints at home against the Bucks. I was already on that for the week. You could have got a 3 early in the week too, because shout-out Dak Prescott for somehow making the Bucks look good when they aren't due to their injuries. All right, not that they're not good, but not elite anymore. They're not the team they used to be.
I mean, their O-line sucks. Always, their team sucks.
They lost 3 great O-linemen. They lost Godwin. They have a 45-year-old quarterback who didn't even want to hang out during training camp and get ready for the season. So point is, though, is the Saints always play them good at home, one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. Saints still look good to me, even though they squeaked out a win against Atlanta. Everyone knows the farmer does think Atlanta is underrated this year, so I don't think that was that unimpressive by them still winning on the road at Atlanta. So because of that, the line's open still at 3. And guess what? The Sharps have already hit it down to 2.5. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets closer to 1.5 and whatnot, because this is just such a good spot. If you don't have anything yet, I mean, I have a 2-unit play. If you follow me on Twitter, you'd already saw it. 2-unit play on the Saints +3. But if you can't find that, if you're looking for another leg of a teaser, I think moving Saints from 2.5 up to 8.5 is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you stole the words right out of my mouth. I did not heed the farmer's words.
Well, one day you'll learn.
And sure shit, to buy.
Now he has to buy points because he doesn't listen.
And I don't want to eat the -135 on to get to +3. So what am I doing? I'm putting this as the first leg of a home dog teaser.
There you go.
+8.5, New Orleans Saints. I love it. I love that the farmer's backing it. I love that I'm crossing 7 and I'm crossing 8. And I get a home dog against a team that just lost their wide receiver 2.
In a divisional matchup.
Give me that all day.
So Jared mentioned that there's no harder place to play. Well, one of the hardest places to play, which is the Superdome. But guess what, Jared? There's been a game at the Superdome in the last few weeks, and they lost. And that was the LSU Tigers versus the FSU Seminoles. Regression to the mean. Flip the switch right now. The Saints at home. Oh, when the Saints go marching in, then they always fucking win. We're taking the Saints +3. And if you get it 2.5, get it at 6.5 in teaser. Who gives a shit? You take them all day, every day.
Yeah, make sure if you're looking for another leg in your parlay, take a money line. Get that +130. Juice up your little play, you know?
God, you read my fucking mind. Yeah. I love this game.
They win this game outright. Easy.
I love it.
Honestly, some alt spreads too. Maybe -6.5 I'll sprinkle on.
We went to a really great game, into one of the weirdest games I could ever handicap. It's the hardest game to handicap of the week, I think, in my opinion. We've got the Carolina Panthers +1.5 at the New York Football Giants over under 43.5.
Yeah, this was another one I jumped on right out of the gates.
Carolina, please.
I have Carolina +3 at -125.
Oh, my God. You got that at 3?
It was 2.5 at -105.
You bought the half? I would have.
Well, because it wasn't a real buy. It was just taking -125, -3.
Yeah, because they're -105 +1.
I just knew this line was going to move back closer. It was just a definition of an overreaction. Panthers looked like shit against the Browns. You had the Giants winning on the road. Now, I have a very, very simple rule with the Giants, and it's why I make so much money on them. Bet them when they're underdogs, and bet against them when they're favorites.
I love it.
So it works a lot of the time.
Well, they're never favored, but yeah.
No, they are sometimes. I mean, that division's pretty shitty. When they have home games against the Commanders, it's Commanders auto bet every time. But,
but they're in first place in the NFC East right now, buddy.
Yeah, right now. That's why it's one game. But yeah, point is, that line just – Sharps would be all over it. Preseason, this line was probably like 1. It was probably a look-ahead. Like, I think it was 1 or pick 'em. I had a massive overreaction. I mean, I'm not betting this at 1.5 or 1. It's just I'm taking 3, or if you somehow gets back up to 2.5, I tease it up to 8.5.
I mean, I just thought the money line.
No, I mean, I'm still. It's not that I hate it. Just wouldn't be an effect. Like, I just knew jumping on the value early on. If I do that all year long, I'll make a lot of money.
Well, it's 1 of 3 games this week that are 1.5 point spreads currently. So it's certainly a teaser opportunity for people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it as a teaser opportunity, but I actually like it as one to get Carolina. I'm almost mad at myself that wasn't the one. But you know what? I want to know why I shied away from it, because my first leg was an away team, and I didn't want to go 2 away teams. But
you guys are in my head.
It's all right. I still love.
I'll stick your head because you took 6 teams last week that were like 7-point favorites or more on the road.
Fire me.
Road favorites only count
Vince McMahon
when they're 6 to 7 points or higher. Like I mean,
it was week one. It was different. Yeah, we're on to the next.
Yeah. Anyway, I do think you're in your own head about that. You gotta trust your gut. Anyway,
you guys talking mad shit.
This literally just popped in my head as soon as you guys said this is the hardest game to handicap, and I was like, I have nothing to talk about, and then just this magically came to my head. Again, I could feel it in my plums.
Oh my god.
Saquon over whatever the rushing line is. They gave up 141 rushing yards to Nick Chubb on 22 carries. They gave up 11 or they gave
cash
up,
or tickets.
Cash or tickets. They gave up 46 rushing yards to Kareem Hunt on 11 carries. That's over 4 yards a carry for both those backs. I mean, Chubb is like 3.99, but whatever. You get it. 4 yards a carry. I mean, you got to imagine Saquon's rushing line is probably going to be around 70 to 80.
I mean, that's the only problem for you is that the line's going to be propped the fuck up because he ran for 140, 160 last week. Yeah, like, I mean, just, I'm saying, and he had like 20-something carries, so they're going to factor all that in. I'd bet that his rushing prop against a shitty team is going to be 90-something.
Yeah, I mean, I would take it up to around the 90.
I mean, but that's like top 3 running back in the league. Like, Jonathan Taylor wasn't even above 100 week one.
I don't think it's going to be that high.
Which, by the way, do we just take Jonathan Taylor over rushing yards every single week? Because it's incredible.
I mean, against shitty teams, we're going to have to.
32 attempts, like, take it every time.
Against Jacksonville, we're going to have to. I don't care what the number is. It's going to be over 100, and we're still going to take it. It's not going to be a cash crop, though. Anyway, I do think that Vegas, like you said, don't overreact to week one lines. Vegas is the king of overreacting.
It's the squares. They will
pump things up, but we're it's only Wednesday. If we can get a line on Saquon before the squares get there on Saturday night, Sunday morning, I think we can get a mid-80s line on Saquon. And I don't care. I'll take it up to 100. He's going to fucking run all over this team. They couldn't stop the Browns to save their lives.
Saquon's back, and you love to see it.
Saquon's back.
We've got another great AFC matchup here. New England is favored on the road, -1.5. Another -1.5 game here this week at Pittsburgh, who just came off of a huge divisional upset versus Cincinnati on the road, is at home, and there's no longer Heinz Field. I don't know what the fuck the name of that field is anymore, but we're going to call it Heinz Field anyways, the home of Art Rooney. And they are +1.5, over-under is 40, another very low total. And because of the low total, this is the second leg of my teaser. We are going to go the Washington Commies, +7.5. At Detroit and Pittsburgh, +7.5 versus New England. My thing here, I actually really like New England in this game. I think it's a great bounce back spot for them after a loss at the Dolphins, but they're on the road yet again. I would have trusted them a lot more if they went back to Gillette. I think that Pittsburgh has a good enough defense to make it a close game, and with this over-under at 40, give me the 7.5 points every time.
And that brings me to the second leg of my teaser as well. Let's go, Brandon.
Hey.
But hey, Farmer, who was giving me shit about wanting to take team total because the Steelers had a good defense? Team total wins of 7.5 for the Steelers. Who was that last week? Who was telling me that teams couldn't win because of their defense?
I'm assuming Brandon.
2 years ago, I took Pittsburgh when me, Rob, and Jared were on it, and they both hated it, and I hit over 8.5, and because they have winning seasons every single year. It's Tomlin, man. He's unstoppable. Yeah,
it was that plus a good defense.
Yeah, but now you can't use that argument against Bill Belichick, too, who also like typically always has winning seasons.
No, but I am using that argument to make the handicap that give me 7.5 points at home all day of the week because their defense is so good. I know they don't have TJ Watt. That's a big loss, but their defense is still stout. They still have guys that can fill in for TJ Watt.
It's not even that. Like, they just faced Cincinnati. It's one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. Now they get the Patriots, which is probably top 3 least explosive offenses in the NFL.
They look like a JV team out there.
Well, I mean, granted, the Dolphins own them 4-0. in the last 2 years since Brady left. But their offense under Mac Jones just is not explosive. They've got no firepower whatsoever. But I have another play here before I get to Jared.
Let me just finish my play.
Well, you already gave the play.
I know, I gave the play, but let me let the listeners know.
All right, give it to them.
The full teaser is Saints +8.5, Steelers +7.5. It's a fade Mac Jones, fade the Patriots on the road, but it's also relying on a defense to get you to cover inside 7.
Yeah, I got Commies +7.5 and New England +7.5 as well. And then I've got another play here. I don't know the number yet, but it's a lean, and it's going to be a play at some point. Give me Ramondre Stevenson. Over of receptions. Listen to this here. Ty Montgomery was the third down back all of week one. Everybody found that to be a complete shocker. He played on 9 of 10 third down snaps, and then he got put on IR this past week due to an injury. Belichick has recently boasted about Ramondre as a pass protector and a catcher. He's going to become the every down, third down back, and New England is a dog this week. He's going to catch at least 3 balls, and I bet you his receptions are 2.5. Give me the over of receptions of Ramondre Stevenson.
I love that. Just for the listeners, just because I know if I'm listening to a podcast and someone tells me they like something early on, but they don't go a little further in depth, it really pisses me off because I don't know what line I'm going to get on. I have a local book, so my local book always has worse lines than what they're looking at, and that shit's just frustrating. So for the local book guys, at what number do you stop liking the Ramondre Stevenson bet? 3.5? 4.5? I know 4.5 is really high. You're probably not going to see that, but just give us your take on that, because I do think 2.5 is a good placement of where we think the line will be, but just in case these people get more pumped up lines on Sunday morning.
At B Plotnick Sports on Twitter, you can DM me and find out. Mic drop.
Wow, you changed the FSU. It's sports now.
Fucking bitch move.
How the fuck do I want to answer sense. That?
Yeah, instead of just...
There's no way to answer that question.
Okay, here's the question.
I could say 2.5, but guess what? That could be at -110. It could be at -160, -180. I could give so many different scenarios in which it happens.
It's a fucking simple question. Do you take the bet at normal odds at -3.5? Or over 3.5 receptions?
If it's -110, 3.5, I'd probably still lean over. -2.5, -160... Definitely love it. I like it more laying juice.
That's all the depth that I want.
To get the reception. As a running back, you don't have as many opportunities. Like I just mentioned about Ty Montgomery, there was only 10 third down snaps that he even had an opportunity to have a play on. Now you get an opportunity here with Ramondre Stevenson to have 10 of those snaps. Yeah, you take the opportunity to give yourself more chances to score or on that bet. But yeah, you're going to lay more juice. That's fine.
So all right, spending a lot of time on this for no reason, because I'll bet the farm that it's not 3.5 even money. It'd be like 2.5 juice, 1.5 juice.
That's what I said.
You're never going to get a running back like that, especially because they may just have like another one of those old scat backs get called up and be the third running back. And
well, that's the other scary part. Yeah. But that's I don't think that's happening.
The Bird Dog does have a live injury report. We have Leonard Fournette hamstring injury at practice today, was not seen back in practice. Rashad White filled in for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. It doesn't really matter. But,
Thursday
injury reports are the important ones. No. They give all these veterans Wednesday.
But hammy's a horrible sign.
Yeah, it's
impossible to recover. All right, Jared, New England.
We weren't even on that game, so I don't even care. But I hope that's right, because I have Rashad White on maybe every single one of my teams.
We got to get through the 1 o'clock.
Yeah, we do. You guys just talked for a while, so I'll make it short and simple that I don't know. This line's overreacting to TJ Watt out. It's the second leg of my teaser with the Browns up to 7.5.
Hey. Wow. Three-way. Three-way tease. We had that last week in a hit, so you'd love to see it. All right, we'll continue on. Finally getting to the 4 o'clock games. One of the most intriguing games of the week, I think, line-wise. It opened at 8.5, down to 7.5. Cincinnati -7.5 at Dallas. Over-under is 41.5. Cooper Rush is going to be starting for Dallas. I am completely fading this. If I liked anything, I'd maybe tease Cincinnati down, but I don't have any interest. I'm out.
I really wanted Dallas under team total. It's sitting at 16.5 right now. I don't like that number. There could be, you know, there could be any, you know, Zeke or Tony Pollard could go off for a big play. So could CeeDee Lamb. There's still plenty of explosive skill players on Dallas. And not to mention you have a defense that's known for turnovers. After the way that Cincinnati handled last week, I know obviously the Steelers are a way better defense. I just don't like the number under 17 for that team total, so therefore I am passing. But if you see a number over 17, let me know.
Yeah, everyone knows that I love my hot sewage, so if this gets to 8.5, it's going to be a play for me. I love home dogs, 8 or above.
It opened at that.
Yeah, I see it's down to 7.
Everyone's
half.
Steaming Dallas because that line didn't make sense.
Well, I'm not chasing the line because Dallas is real hot sewage, and Bengals off a tough loss. I expect a big bounce back game for Burrow.
Yeah, I love the over here. I think that 41.5 is super low. I think Cincinnati only scored 21 points last game. I think they could come out, score 28 by themselves. Dallas defense is certainly nothing to be scared about. And then Dallas goes out, scores 14, you cash your bet.
Well, good luck with Cooper Rush. I'm not taking that.
Give me Joe Mixon.
Yeah, 28-14, you cash your bet. It's not even that crazy.
So are you taking it or not?
Yeah. Give me the over 41.5, Cincinnati-Dallas. I think it's going to be a little bit higher scoring than people think. I think that the Dallas offense is going to be able to move the ball just like the Steelers did. You think Mitchell Trubisky's good? Well, guess what? Cincinnati's still on the road, and Zeke and Pollard might be able to move the ball. I don't trust that offensive line necessarily, but CeeDee Lamb also, I love his props. Buy low, buy low, buy low. Don't overreact to week one. Buy low, especially for a backup quarterback who needs a safety blanket. So,
I mean, he still targeted him 5 times in the second in the second half when he came in. So,
I love the over here, actually. 41.5 is one of the lowest of the week.
I love Joe Mixon over rushing yards. Leonard Fournette went 21 for 127 with a worse offensive line than the Bengals do. That Bengals offensive line was pumping. Joe Mixon looked great. He had like 17 rushes in the first half when they were down 2 touchdowns. He must have ended with somewhere between, you know, 23 and 26 rushes. I think if he gets anywhere near that volume, especially if they're winning, whatever his number will be, I would take it. Unlike Brandon, I'll tell people what I take it up to. I take it into the high 80s, you know, probably 88, 89, you know, 89.5. Once it gets to 90, you're flirting. But, I mean, Joe Mixon looked great. He's healthy. That Bengals offensive line is pumping, and the Dallas defense sucks. So I will play Joe Mixon rushing yards up to 89.5.
JP, anything else?
Nope.
We got the Falcons plus 10.5 at the Rams. Rams obviously have a lot of time to plan for this. Coming off a Thursday night game, they are minus 10.5. The over-under is 46.5. I will start us off. Give me the over of 46.5. I don't know why. This was the only over-under that I took, but the boys' game just now got me excited, so I had to take that. But I think this Falcons-Rams game is going to have the highest pace of the week. It's going to be through the roof. Atlanta called the 10th most no huddles week one in a neutral game script. It's only going to be higher if they're getting their asses whooped as double-digit dogs. So I think that the game script is going to help, and the no huddles, that makes the pace a lot higher. The Rams against the Bills, 7th highest pace, and the 2nd highest no huddle rate in week one. That's a McVay special. The Rams averaged 12.3 seconds on the play clock.
Wow,
the play clock prior to snapping the ball. 2nd highest of week one. That's your stat of the week for you. They averaged 12.3 seconds on the play clock prior to snapping the ball on the entire game.
That is
called moving the ball and moving the chains. Give me move the chains, move the ball. Give me the over 46.5, high pace game.
You know what that's also called? It's called getting your ass kicked. So you gotta move your fucking feet. You gotta get some plays in.
No, but that's a McVay special. Even going to back to last year, this is a common theme.
It's definitely a common theme. I'm just saying, I think that's.
But on both sides, Arthur Smith for Atlanta, he does the same thing. I think it's just a fast paced game. Over 46.5, I think it's a little low.
Listen, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just making that point. I think that's why it was extraordinarily high. He's known to have a high pace already. I just think that's why it was so hot. They had to make up time. They had to make up plays. But I feel the same exact way as you. I don't know why I'm taking this play, but you know, 10.5 points with the hook, man. Give me Atlanta. I don't like it at all. It feels like I'm hitting on a 17-year-old.
You've had that feeling before? Wow.
It feels wrong. It feels so wrong.
Wouldn't be the first time.
It feels so wrong, but...
But it feels so right.
The farmer has taught me over time, he might not even take this play, but he's taught me over time that points will eventually win you spreads, and...
I'm on the
Atlanta look good.
I'm on Atlanta plus 10.5 as well.
Atlanta,
it's look, just too high of a number. Dude, that's listen, all. Look, I mean, that's literally all. You, I don't have anything else to say. Atlanta isn't that bad. 10.5.
You were pointing to Marcus Mariota getting that pace up. I mean, one of my plays is that Marcus Mariota is really using his legs like he never has in his career to move the chains. So I think that's an advantage against a Rams defense. It's going to rush hard. It's going to open running lanes for him. And they just look discombobulated. You can tell the Super Bowl hangover is there for them. And I don't know. Give me 10.5 in the hook because why the fuck not?
Yeah, shouldn't be a surprise that Falcons were my first click of the week at plus 10.5. Love them this week.
We found it, boys.
But I have a little, unlike you not really liking it, I actually love it for multiple reasons, some of what you touched on. This Falcons offense is good. Mariota is a good player. He's underrated. They're still underrated in the numbers because they ended up losing last week, even though they played a really good Saints team well at home and should have won the game if Mariota didn't fumble at the end. So really like that, and I really want to fade the Rams. I know they had 3 extra days off, which I don't like. Bad, embarrassing loss, which I don't like. But guess what? They don't have a run game. Atlanta is probably a little more susceptible against the run, but Grady Jackson's back at a monster game last week. Atlanta's secondary is really good. And the Rams don't have that many weapons. And you have a quarterback with a bum shoulder. I mean, I cannot believe the spread is this high. I'll be shocked if it closes this high. I see a lot of sharps coming on the Falcons here, and I think this line closes in single digits.
Agreed. I think it's the sharpest play.
I mean, people forget Marcus Mariota won a fucking Heisman, bro.
Okay, he also had a really good opportunity to be a good quarterback in the NFL and wasn't. So take that into account as well. And we will take into account as well that we've got another Western. Why do I keep saying Western? I always think about the NBA. NFC Conference matchup in the West. That's why I thought about it. Seattle Sea Chickens versus the San Francisco 49ers. The Sea Chickens are plus 8.5. Over-under is 41.5.
Dogger pass.
Yeah, I'll start out here because it's one of the few plays I don't even really have a lean on. I can make a case for both sides. I just hate Trey Lance. I don't think that's a secret. I think he's completely overrated. So because of that, I just don't have a play here.
I'm on the Sea Chickens because I got them plus 9.5. It already moved to 8.5. Great value here. I think that Geno Smith looked just fine against what I expect to be a very stout Denver defense. I mean, I know it was at home and they got to go to the 49ers, but guess what? It's a divisional matchup. So I think that makes this line shrink just a tad bit. 9.5 points. I'm almost getting double digits here. The over-under is really short as well, just like I was talking about a little bit earlier. The 49ers couldn't... I don't want to talk about the 49ers-Chicago game because it was such a slop fest that it was hard to really gauge anything out of that. But I think that this is just a little bit too much respect on the 49ers and a little bit too much disrespect on the Sea Chickens. So give me the Seattle Seahawks, also known as the Sea Chickens, at plus 9.5. I know the line moved. If you could get it at 8.5, 9.5, I like it. 7.5, you're pushing it. Final, we got a few more here. Houston Texans, plus 10 at the Broncos, over under 45 flat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back to the well again here. Shouldn't be surprised. I'm taking the Texans plus 10. It's very similar with the Texans-Falcons for me. I think they were undervalued coming into the year, and I still think they are undervalued after an impressive week one. Now they go on the road. I understand Denver lost, but guess what? Denver, short week. Short week coming home, and they have to come home off an emotional game. And I think that It's not the toughest of environments, and normally their competitive advantage at home is altitude, but it's not like they've been playing in the altitude very long because this is their first home game of the year. So I think the number's too high. It's another line I think closes in the single digits.
Yeah, unlike the Falcons bet, I do not feel dirty or grimy or wrong about taking this one. Give me Houston all day here. Denver looked awful against a bad team. You know, the Rams looked awful.
Yeah, a lot of talk about that. They didn't play in the preseason. Now they got a full game under their belt, and they're still at home again. I mean, Mile High, tough place to play. Houston on the road. Obviously, they were just home.
And they were on the road.
What? Denver. Oh, you're right. You're right. They went to the 12th man. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I know.
No, that actually benefits me more.
Yeah, I know this is a good team.
I didn't touch it, though.
I know Denver's a good team. I just think Houston is a competitive team against a young quarterback that's taking strides developmentally. He's doing everything that he needs to do as a young quarterback. They have just barely enough skilled players around him to stay competitive. And they have a defense that makes you make mistakes. So I think they can hold on here in 10 points. And I don't even feel that I need to buy the hook here.
The fact that you guys both love the 10 points makes me love the under here. Denver, stout defense, at home. Houston not going to be able to score that often. That Denver offense didn't look like they were going to be able to light up the board every single week. That 45 looks enticing. Certainly a lean. Not a play, but a lean.
Part of my handicap here was that Denver lost their Pro Bowl safety, Justin Simmons, to the IR. They lost their starting middle linebacker, Josie Jewell, to injury. We don't know if he's going to play yet. It doesn't seem likely. He's still questionable, but that's a big hole to fill. Drew Parker, friend of the podcast, has talked up Josie Jewell a lot. You know, he's not one of their best players, but he's definitely a starting middle linebacker, and that's hard to fill. And then they also lost their right guard, Quentin Meaners. So those are three big positions to fill. When you played Monday Night Football, you had a long game, a late game because you're going back time slots, and you lose a day of practice. I mean, give me Houston all day off a big game. I know they didn't win, but there was a lot of hope and momentum there, while Denver's just sitting in a swall of fucking self-hate.
We'll see who self-hates themselves after this matchup. We've got another West Coast match. The Cardinals are +5.5 at the Raiders. Over-under, 51.5, one of the largest totals of the week. Makes me want to take the over here simply because of Vegas. But after both of their week one showings, they both lose. And now you have the Raiders -5.5 after getting their asses handed to them. I don't know. I don't have a play here. I don't have a feel here. If I had a feel, I would probably take the Raiders in a teaser down to a pick'em. But I could also take the Cardinals up to a pick'em. So it goes both ways because you can get their key numbers on both sides.
My question for you is, do you think Devontae Adams' player prop is 9.5 after a 17 target?
Are you crazy? I don't think we've ever seen a 9.5. Even Cooper Kupp last year, the largest I think I ever saw was 8.5. It's going to be 7.5.
It
might be juice, but it's 7.5.
Yeah, it'll be juice. I'll take an all line. I'm not putting that on the pod, but just for the listeners, like, I mean, 17 targets. Holy shit. How do you get around that?
Yeah, I'm on the over. A very simple handicap. Both defense. The Cardinals, as I touched on earlier, worst defense in the league. Even though going against Mahomes, I'm saying this preseason, like, worst defense in the league. And Mahomes, I mean, he doesn't even have that good of weapons, and he just completely dominated them. Raiders, even worse defense. No, sorry, not a, just a little bit better than as bad of defense as that is. I think that this has a shootout run all over. Both teams could score in the 30s here.
Well, I don't have a play on that one either, but let's go ahead and go to another game where I don't think that where both teams are not going to score in the 30s. There might be a 30 total overall, but let's go to the Green Bay Packers at home versus the Bears. I mean, sitting at -10, that is a big spread for a Packers team that looked god-awful on the road in Minnesota. What do you think?
Yeah, I see sharps coming in here on the Bears, and I'm just not going to be one of them. I think that I had my fair share of Bears money last week. I'll take my win. I'll run. If this gets down to 9.5, I may just suck it up and take the juice. A lot of shit talking about the Packers receiving core, blah, 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 blah. Lazard's going to be back. They're going to be fine. Their defense is elite. I think they can dominate this game. The second I see a 9.5, I'm taking the Packers.
I mean, I'm going to be LRCing for the listeners. That means left, right, center. That means you take every prop or every part of every line, first quarter, second half, full game. I'm going to be all over every single one of Aaron Rodgers' passing, touchdowns. Everything that you can give me on Aaron Rodgers this week, give it to me, because after a showing like that, you know he's going to come out and torch a shitty Bears defense.
Yeah, I mean, he said, I own you last year, and he's going to own them again this year and just demolish them.
At home, too. Lambeau Leap is coming.
You know, if he throws for 300 yards, where are those receiving yards going to?
Lazard, Tonyan. Yeah. He has a bunch of running backs that can catch the ball.
I'm huge on Tonyan. He had, I think, 3 catches last game on 5 targets. Like, if we can get a good number on Tonyan, I'm definitely in on that. And Lazard, if he comes back, I saw that. Look, his injury wasn't even, like, muscular. He got stepped on his foot. If his foot just healed, which that's what the human anatomy calls for, then he's going to have a really low number as a guy coming back on his first game, and he's going to get peppered.
I think they just got too big for their britches, thinking they didn't need their number one wide receiver.
Oh, my. Even if Devontae Adams played last week, I would have liked Minnesota. I just would have.
No, I'm saying, like, I think they were just like, oh, well, we'll be okay. You know, Aaron Rodgers will figure it out. And guess what? Aaron Rodgers didn't figure
it out. What does that even mean? You could say that about Green Bay for the last 5 to 6 years. They drafted Jordan Love. They were supposed to draft a wide receiver that year. I mean,
listen, I'm not arguing with you over something so stupid. I'm saying they were like, oh, we have Aaron Rodgers. We can list our wide receiver one is out. That's my point. And they listed him out for a foot injury that he might have played through. And maybe he made a difference in that game. And they got fucking wrecked. That's my point.
Fair. Monday Night Football, Tennessee +10 at Buffalo. Can you imagine getting a better schedule to start the year than Buffalo gets a Thursday night opener and then gets a Monday night at home? Like, Thursday night on the road, then Monday night at home, and then start 1-0 on the road and then get 1-0 back at home against Tennessee, the most overrated team in the AFC?
Yeah, the NFL wants his team to win the Super Bowl so fucking bad.
Well, I mean, you can't handicap exactly what happened. But
hey, people are here for winners, all right? Let's talk about the bets. Let's keep it on the bets.
Oh, give me Buffalo -10. I don't give a fuck. I think they're going to blow them out just like they did the Rams. They are so good. And Tennessee's defense is so bad. We learned that last week, and we talked about it last week. We handicapped it properly last week.
Yeah, same exact handicap I just gave for the Packers. Same exact line, same exact handicap. Get this line down to 9.5. Hopefully the Sharps think they're cute and take the Titans here. Second I see a 9.5, I'm on the Bills.
Yeah, if I don't see a 9.5, I'll probably take a Monday night teaser where I do Buffalo down to 4 or Buffalo down to 3.5 and Vikings up to 8.5. You know what I mean? But
Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, you get Vikings Eagles on Monday night. What are you talking about, dude? Are you not paying attention?
There's 2 Monday night games this week.
Ah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So Vikings, there you go. Gave your play. I lean. I mean, right off the bat, I love the Eagles -2. Honestly, I think that they, from head to toe, their team is phenomenal. I talked about Detroit last week, teased them up. It worked. But the Eagles are just I had my reservations on Hurts. And it hurts me to say this, but their entire team is just so good, and I'm concerned about fading them all year. They are just really good head to toe. I like the Eagles -2 and bounce back off of, like, the Vikings. We were all over them. I know we don't want to, like I said, don't overreact to week 1, and we're not going to overreact to the Vikings whooping Green Bay. We're going to take the Eagles here as a better team -2. That's a play on my end.
Yeah.
It's a great number too, honestly.
I think if I had to play that number, I'm taking the favorite, that 2, 2.5. But, you know, if I can get a higher number, I'm taking points. I think it's going to be a very close. I think it's going to be a field goal game. I mean, the
What does that mean? Like a teaser? Yeah, but like what other points are you expecting to get? You're not buying a full point up to three?
That's what I'm talking about, the teaser that I just talked about. What do you fucking mean, dude? I just talked about the teaser. What other points do you think I could get on a...
But you were just talking about the Eagles, and I was talking about the Vikings.
No, I'm saying if I had to play this game at 2, 2.5, I'd probably take the favorite because I don't have to get to 3. I don't have to cross 3. You know what I mean? But if I'm getting points, then I love this game at 7.5, 8, because I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a great game. I would lean over here. You know, Eagles just lost Derek Barnett for the season.
Very odd. Usually week one they do the 2 Monday nights. I can't believe they did it at week 2. Very odd. Jared, any plays?
Yeah, I don't like this game at all. Maybe something come Monday when I do a little more digging, but I can make cases for both sides, and I've given a shitload of plays today, so...
Yeah, I gave far more than I wanted to, but I honestly feel pretty fucking good about all of them. All right, any parting words, gentlemen?
Enjoy the money. You're welcome.
That is going to do it for this edition of the Pigskin Preview, week 2 of the NFL season. Good luck.
Outro music.
Everybody.